Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Tuesday. Hope everybody had a great day. Welcome in. Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 1700 The Champ, real sports talk for real sports fans. Check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports or at 1700 The Champ. Facebook is at 1700 The Champ. Website is 1700thechamp.com. We just got done watching the Giants and the Buccaneers, if you want to call that watching. Thursday, 11 a.m., that starts the football rolling on Thanksgiving. You have 11 a.m. Bears-Lions, 3 p.m. Raiders-Cowboys, 8 p.m. Bills and Saints. Saturday, you have a UNI at St. Bonaventure men's basketball game. And Sunday afternoon, you're going to get Eagles, Giants, and Rams, Packers joined in progress. Sunday night football, Browns and Ravens. And next Monday night is Seattle and Washington. Kansas City Chiefs are on a bye this week, so that's why we don't have the Kansas City Chief game on. And I am here Monday, Tuesday, and I am here tomorrow. And then I have Thursday, Friday off, and we'll come back and get ready to rock and roll through December up until Christmas and the new year and see where that takes us. I'd like to take the time to thank three sponsors that help make sure that this show comes on every day. Northwest Bank, BetMGM, and Laser Home Services. It's a joy to have all three of them and to have the trust that to allow me to talk about them on the radio and the trust that they have in the program. To try to bring you the best program that I can bring you. So Zach Steenblok's coming in today. I have my Philadelphia guys supposed to call either today or tomorrow. Trying to get David Eicholt to come in tomorrow, Maddie Nelson to come in tomorrow, and B. Styles will come in tomorrow as well to get us ready for some Thanksgiving sports. Tons of stuff to talk about. I found this interesting, and I'm going to start with a non-sport thing today. And let me check this here. A federal jury in Ohio today, and it's the first of its rulings that I think in the United States held Walmart, Walgreens, and CVS health pharmacies. That they were partially responsible for fueling the opioid epidemic that has ravaged communities across the nation. A couple of counties sued the pharmacy chains, claiming they did not do enough to stop the flow of opioids, which caused hundreds of overdose deaths and cost each of the two counties about $1 billion. I don't know how they got to $1 billion, but prosecutors said that an estimated 80 million prescription painkillers were dispensed in Trumbull County between 2012 and 2016, while 61 million pills were given out in Lake County during that same four-year period. That seems like a lot. So maybe that does have some merit. And I understand that if you are a pharmaceutical company, pharmacy, that maybe that should throw up some red flags, but did they do the same? Did they sue doctors? I mean, they had to get prescriptions from them somewhere. You can't get prescriptions from Walmart, Walgreens, and CVC. So interesting. I just saw that it popped up. I mean, that's a lot of money. That's a big settlement. And they haven't settled yet, and I'm sure that will last another 15 to 20 years. And that kind of leads into a lot of the issues that we have in the National Football League. And it's about this time of year where, and I've done it a couple of times when we, start to get into the holiday season, how much that we love watching football and how much the game is exciting, the rivalries, the fandom, the cheering, the booing, everything about it. And then I think we, hence the holiday season part of this. I think we lose sight of some of the issues that the National Football League and the National Football League players have had over the last 50, 60, 70 years. Probably even more than that. But we'll leave it at above 70. And the need for them to play football so they can get paid, and from the owners and the teams having them on the field so it's the better product, so people will come, more TV contracts, more advertisers for, to make the NFL into the multi-billion dollar company that it is. And some of that was kind of stampeded over NFL football players who we've talked about this many times on the show too, who engage in a car wreck, a train wreck on almost every play. And the aches and the pains and the injuries and the debilitating injuries that happen, and the painkillers that were prescribed to take care of them that ended up costing people their lives. And I thought when Junior Seau had his issues and was talking so eloquently before he passed away that's one of the really big superstars of the NFL, that maybe that would change the attitude of the league. And you have to say it has to be about the league. The owners know about it. The players know about it. The players union knows about it. The player reps know about it, and the issues that it's brought. And the problem is that for every Junior Seau that we all know and care and love for, you have 15, 20, 25, other people that, have suffered past or are, unable to perform functions. Mongo McMichael, Steve McMichael from the Chicago Bears. You see a lot of players going and visiting him, bedridden. He doesn't look good. And when you see something like that come across a news thing where 80 billion pills just out there being taken, and from the looks of the article, no one was paying attention and no one cared. And that's a problem that we have in this country, that if it's, and I'm just as guilty as everyone else. You look at a problem, and if it's my problem, if it's my family's problem, it's my children's, I'm in, I'm there. Friends, I'm there. But not everybody. And I don't have that same, what's the word I'm looking for? That same wanting to get something done and wanting to get it done now and wanting to help and wanting to do all that. And I think we're missing that. And that's why when we talk about college football and high school football and pro football and the amount of money, why I mentioned that on college, but the amount of money that's involved in the upcoming TV contracts and the bowl contracts and the TV rights and all of that, where does college athletes' health and wellness, and I think we need to stop saying health and wellness. I think we need to say health, overall health, physical wellness of their body, and then we can say their well-being is being taken care of. Because when you start throwing things like today, in the last couple of days, you had Mel Tucker signed a 10-year extension at Michigan State for over $100 million. James Franklin today, a 10-year contract at the minimum, it's $75 million for 10 years, plus $1 million a year to purchase a $1 million loan a year to purchase $1 million in health insurance? Do our college athletes have, deserve, and need that same type of coverage? It's a very interesting thing. I think the reason that a lot of people are moving forward so quickly with changes in the NCAA is they've been warned enough times when they've taken their understanding of what their role is to Congress or to the Supreme Court and have gotten knocked back and said, okay, once again, we're asking you to figure this out, or we're going to figure this out. And the way that the courts would figure that out would be to make them employees of said university. And that's the interesting thing, because the first thing that always pops up is, well, they get a scholarship. Well, there's people at Iowa State, Drake, and UNI that get academic scholarships too. But with their academic scholarships, they're not being pushed, hit, tackled, and asked to play sports, which our children, our young athletes, go to these schools specifically to do that as well. The difference being a person that got a scholarship to go up and maybe be the next physicist or doctor or whatever doesn't have the same ramifications as Jack Kerner at the University of Iowa, Brock Purdy after those three or four hits this past weekend, the time that you spend injured in these football cases or basketball, in any of those. And the second part sometimes is, well, they're taking this and it's leading them into a career somewhere else. Well, we're talking about that too. And, you know, the pain and suffering that goes through that and to try to get through. And right now, if you're looking at our two universities in the state who are Division I football programs, the amount of athletes that are doing such a great job on the football field are doing the same in a classroom. It's an amazing, if you look at these two schools and what they're doing on the field and off the field, it's pretty amazing. But it's not the same life that someone who's up there getting a biology degree or a law degree at the University of Iowa or Iowa State. They don't go through the same ebb and flow of all the things that these student athletes are doing. And when you're looking at these colleges and you're like, well, you know, maybe they don't have enough money. Well, if you can take Penn State, I mean, they're doing okay. I mean, they're not, James Franklin's not knocking the world off here. And they're paying him 75, that's at the least, is $75 million over the next 10 years. And I think he still has a couple of years left on his contract, plus giving him $1 million, $1 million loan to purchase life insurance. It's interesting. I'm not smart enough to figure out the answer to these problems. I am passionate enough and ornery enough to make somebody else figure out these problems. And I didn't even talk about, you know, one of the biggest topics that's out there in sports, in schools, in high schools, in grade schools, at workplaces, everywhere. I mean, here's the funny thing. For me to come in here and do this is therapeutic for me. I get to come in, I get to talk, and I get to work out all these things. A lot of people don't. Mental health and mental well-being in this country is being threatened. I mean, it is threatening our everyday lives. It's threatening our athletic lives of our heroes and the people that we look up to. It's doing the same to our family members in our extended family members, we are getting ready to have Thanksgiving at Nana's house. By the way, good afternoon, Nana. Love you. And we haven't seen our relatives or been around each other for 2 years. That's a big deal. That's mental health and mental well-being. Just listing those things off. We need to do better. We need to do better for everyone. Now we got to figure out a way to do it. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing you sports your way every day. You're listening to 1700 The Champ. I'll be back right after this break.
It's green, moron.
Come on, move it, you clowns.
1700 The Champ. Right now, traffic. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Tuesday. If everybody has kind of a... I know you get Thursday... Most people get Thursday off. And for all those that don't get Thursday off or Friday off, like some of us, man, we're there with you. We're thinking about you. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 1700 The Champ, real sports talk for real sports fans. Check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports, Facebook at 1700 The Champ. This segment will be brought to you by Laser Home Services. If you are looking to have an issue fixed on your heating, plumbing, or electrical, and for next spring, your cooling, please give Laser Home Services a call and see what they can do for you. Their phone number is 515-654-5249. Great customer service. I've only had one service guy. I've had him out twice. I never can forget his name because he's Jerry Maguire. And he did a great job. Customer service was awesome. I mean, I knew when they were leaving the service place or their last call and got text updates until they were in the driveway at the front door. Knew the pricing before the repair was, after the repair was suggested, new pricing before it was fixed. That's customer service. That's Laser Home Services. Give them a call, 515-654-5249, or you can go to laserhomeservices.com, and you can look at the same screen that I'm looking at. And you can take care of that issue online as well if you don't want to talk on the phone. Zach Steenblok's coming in at 5. Just got off the phone with him just to make sure. I'm just going to keep going down this list because there's so many interesting things out here to talk about. I don't even know which one I want to go to next. I'm going to start here. Jason Garrett today was let go from his offensive coordinator job with the New York Giants. Let's be clear. The New York Giants right now are horrific. Their coach is Joe Judge, and I'm going to get back to that here in just a second. They have, besides the Detroit Lions and the Atlanta Falcons, they are next in point differential. They've scored 189 points. They've given up 246. They have 3 wins. If you watched the game last night, it was not good. I don't think they've thrown for over 100 yards in a few games. Neither has the Detroit Lions. I don't think offensive coordinator is the only position, but there was one particular play last night, and it was the third down and long. Daniel Jones took the snap, shotgun, had about, I would think, less than 3.5 seconds before someone was already getting ready to touch him, that he was having to move. And when you look, you have one running back that's going out on the right side of the play. And then you have 3 other wide receivers that all met 7 yards down the field. It was third and long. And they were all bunched together like they were guarding each other. Now, I don't know if that's an offensive coordinator thing. I don't know if that's a preparation thing. I don't know what any of that is. And when you start looking at some people that are in trouble, Matt Nagy, Joe Judge. Joe Judge was a special teams coach. I mean, that's a big jump going from a special teams coach to a head coach of a football team. Same thing with the New York Jets. Robert Saleh, if you listened to people, Robert Saleh was a great defensive coordinator for the San Francisco 49ers. Had a lot of talent. If you look at the numbers, he probably wasn't as good as maybe everyone thought, but I think he interviewed great. I think he is so far in over his head. This is the age old debate. And I have this debate with all my buddies, all my friends I talk to, all the people I have on this show. If you're hiring a head coach in the NFL, the way the NFL is, if it was 1984, 85, 86, I'd be hiring me a defensive coordinator. I'm going to get some people stopped. And you know what? As long as we don't turn the ball over and we score a couple of touchdowns, we'll have such a good defense, we're good. That's not the way people play anymore. If you look at the top teams in football right now in each division, the New England Patriots lead the Bills by a half a game. They play each other two times in the next 3 weeks, I think. You're going to find out that. New England has an okay offense, but a really good defense, as long as the offense isn't turning the ball over. Buffalo, with four losses, not exceeding expectations. The Dolphins' defense has kept them in games. Their offense hasn't been very good. And the New York Jets, well, what can we say about that? The Baltimore Ravens' defense has kept them in games. The Bengals' defense is a lot better. The Steelers' defense is way better than their offense is. But when you start looking at the teams, the Kansas City Chiefs, it's offense and their defense. Now that their defense is playing better, the wins are starting to come. The LA Chargers, Justin Herbert with a little sprinkle. The Green Bay Packers have a defense that's overachieving and an offense that's overachieving. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have a defense that's playing pretty well. And the Arizona Cardinals defense has been playing better than the LA Rams defense, and that's why they are up where they are. The San Francisco 49ers are 5-5. You know, it's just, what are you looking for? Matt Nagy, Joe Judge, Nick Sirianni for the Philadelphia Eagles. They're 5-6. They are 2.5 games back of the Cowboys. They get to play the Cowboys. They're playing better. I had a crazy stat today, and this even shocked me because I am a huge Lamar Jackson fan. Lamar Jackson's first 15 starts compared to Jalen Hurts' first 15 starts. Lamar Jackson, total offense, 4,120. Jalen Hurts, 4,115. Touchdowns, 26 touchdowns. Jalen Hurts, 29 touchdowns. Turnovers, Lamar Jackson, 12. Jalen Hurts, 11. First downs, Lamar Jackson, 213. Jalen Hurts, 209. Not a lot of difference between the two. The only difference between the two of them, to be really truthful with you, is 5 inches in height. That's what we're looking at. But Jason Garrett was let go today. Now, this is how bad the New York and in New York media wanted Jason Garrett gone, that nobody cares today that the person that's taking over his job is Freddie Kitchens. Yes, that Freddie Kitchens of the Cleveland Browns. Now, as an offensive coordinator, we'll see how good Freddie Kitchens is. He can't be any worse than Jason Garrett. Jason Garrett's still playing in the 1990s, and we're in 2021, almost 2022. I like Jason Garrett. I think he's a great guy. Doesn't mean I want him running my team. Doesn't mean I want him running my offense. I don't know if I want Freddie Kitchens either, but I think he may do a better job than that. You look at Baker Mayfield today. Baker Mayfield's had a rough week. He is beat up. He's got a bad foot, a bad knee, a bad shoulder, a bad hand, a bad arm. But he knows that if he doesn't keep playing, that the dollar signs that are out there, his fifth year's next year, then he can, you know, they have to tender him for his fifth year. And then there's money out there. I don't think it's going to be money in Cleveland. But now he's not talking to his teammates. He's not talking to the press. I don't think he's paying as much attention to the coaching staff as he should be. And his family's involved in social media. He's involved in social media. And the thing that keeps irritating everybody is you keep seeing him on new commercials every other day. Now, granted, they did those commercials on his off time during the off season, but it just gets people mad. If Baker was one of those guys, if you have heard Lamar Jackson say 10 words, I don't know if I believe you. If you see Kyler Murray and he said more than 10 words on social media, I don't know if I believe you. Same with Justin Herbert. Same with Mac Jones. See where I'm going. Baker brings a lot of this on himself. I'm not in the Colin Cowherd thing of he's a horrible quarterback. Once he had a stable coaching staff, he has tried to get them advanced in the playoffs as much as he can. Their defense is underperforming. I mean, but just take that back one more time. Jason Garrett's on his way out. Freddie Kitchens is getting ready to take over. Dave Gettleman hired Joe Judge, okayed Jason Garrett, drafted Daniel Jones over a plethora of people that they probably could have used more, and stuck his whole reputation on Daniel Jones, which has been a mitigated failure. And I don't know if that's because of Daniel Jones. I think it's a combination of everybody. And then you have Cleveland that they have a quarterback that's led them to a couple of years of things the Cleveland Browns haven't done. They've beat the Steelers. They've never done that in the past 5 or 6 years. They had 0 wins, 1 win, 2 wins, 1 win. And we can't keep the quarterback happy, and we can't keep the coaches happy, and we can't keep the fans happy. And we definitely can't keep the pundits of the NFL happy, which are probably a 65-35 spread against Baker. I'm with some people right now. For the next 3 to 4 weeks, I think they have a bye week in there as well. Get Baker Mayfield healthy. Let me see if he has a bye week. They are 6-5, so they might have already, or their bye week's going to come in later. Baker needs to get healthy. Let Case Keenum come in. Let him play. If Baker Mayfield is really worried about Case Keenum coming in and taking his job away, he shouldn't have the job anyway. It's just every time I see these things and I'm reading them and I'm looking at them and I'm writing them down and I'm like, I don't want to be out there, but this is just really bad. Tory Taylor, punter for Iowa, not a finalist for the Ray Guy Award. I thought that was kind of strange. Doak Walker, Breece Hall is one of the three finalists. I think Kenneth Walker is going to win that for Michigan State just because his team had a better year. The tight end, if you look at stats and you look at everything else, it's a no-brainer. That's Charlie Kolar. Why I mentioned Matt Nagy today is that the report out there is that he, after this Thanksgiving game, they're going to punt. I don't know why you would not punt now. I don't know if that means they're getting rid of a lot of people on his staff and are trying to find other people. And a lot of this falls on their general manager as well, as Dave Gettleman. Dave Gettleman has had questionable drafts and questionable hires. Ryan Pace for the Chicago Bears, I think, has had a questionable hiring of coaches, but I think his drafts have been, well, they're definitely better than what the New York Giants have had. I don't think his drafts are bad. I mean, I think there's a lot of really good players. It's right now it's a mess. I mean, you are, for most of these, they're 11 games in. It's 17 games. You got 6 games left. You're in trouble. The great thing for the NFL right now is there's no great team. I mean, you can see here's a Tampa Bay's the we'll start here. Arizona Cardinals are the best team in the NFC West. They're 9-2. They have a game and a half lead over the Rams. Tampa Bay 7-3. They have a two-game lead over New Orleans. New Orleans has the tiebreaker, though, because they beat Tampa Bay. Green Bay has a 2.5-game lead over the Minnesota Vikings, and they just lost to the Vikings. That's kind of interesting. The Dallas Cowboys are 7-3. That gives them a 2.5 lead over Philadelphia, but Philadelphia coming on. The Chiefs are a half a game ahead of the Chargers. The Tennessee Titans are 2 games ahead of the Indianapolis Colts. But if you're looking at the team that's playing better and has a running back and their quarterback healthy, you're looking that maybe Indianapolis has a threat there. The Bengals and the Ravens. The Bengals are a game out with the Baltimore Ravens. What a great job by Joe Burrow and that Coach Taylor with the Cincinnati Bengals. And the Patriots and the Bills are a half game from each other. Like I said, they play each other twice over the next 2 to 3 weeks. So you're seeing that a lot of this talk for the NFL is right there. I mean, everything's happening right now, and this is do or die time right here. Getting through the holiday season, getting that little bit of a Christmas break there and seeing where you're at, because that's what's going to matter. You have a week left, so then you have 4 weeks of football before we hit another holiday. That's where we're at. What can you do in those 4 games? Where are you going to be at in those 4 games? That's going to tell a lot about who is going to be making the biggest push. And every time you think there's a great team, they lose to somebody that they shouldn't. It's the funniest football season I think I've ever been around. Way too many things to talk about, not enough time. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 1700 The Champ, Real Sports. Real sports talk for real sports fans. I will be back. I have one more segment before the top of the hour.
Sign up for 1700 The Champ's eClub online. Iowa Sports. Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Tuesday. Drive safely home. Beautiful day out there today. Beautiful day. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing you sports your way every day right here on 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports, at 1700 The Champ. Website, 1700thechamp.com. Podcasts are up. I've got I'm hoping I can take care of some. I loaded some up on Google Docs so I can take them home and do them, so I am not always in here all the time. See if that works. But I have all of November and about half of October done. So I got more to do, but I'm keep doing them. What else do I have? This segment is going to be brought to you by Northwest Bank. 2 locations in Ankeny, 1 in West Des Moines. This is the part that I love about talking about Northwest Bank. And I try not to say the same thing all the time, but it's just so prevalent that you have to. Once again, tell them Steen sent you. Go in and open up a checking account and see what it opens up for you. That's the thing. That's what they want to do. They want to help you to maximize your banking opportunities the most that you can, and they know what they're doing. Let them help you. They also want to make sure that everybody has a happy Thanksgiving. May the good things of life be yours in abundance at Thanksgiving and throughout the coming year. Happy Thanksgiving from all of us at Northwest Bank, along with all of us from Steen on Sports. It's great to work with them. You're going to figure out that it's even better to work with them for them to be your bank. Northwest Bank, member FDIC. Whew. Okay, had a couple, so many just interesting little tidbits that are out there today that I can't help myself. Here's a really interesting thing. So the New York Jets, we were talking about Robert Saleh and the mess that is the New York Jets. Sometimes it looks like they're ill-prepared. Sometimes it looks like coaches are in over their head. Sometimes it looks like players have no idea in the world what they're doing. It must be something in the water, football water, between these two teams in New York. Zach Wilson's been hurt, beat up. Heaven forbid they block for him. He is just returning from his knee injury, and he's going to start this weekend against Houston. And Josh Johnson is poised to be promoted off the practice squad to be his backup. Why, you ask? Why, Steen? Well, Mike White, who has been playing and had a really good game, and then he tested positive for COVID. Joe Flacco is deemed a close contact because he's not vaccinated, and neither one of them can play this weekend. So Zach Wilson, your first round draft pick that you spent a lot of money on, is going out 1 week after coming back from a knee injury that kept him out of 4 to 5 games. I don't know. Seems weird. Next up, and this is, you don't expect to see these, and it's just a headline in the state of Iowa sometimes. But once again, I'm 56 years old and possibly might be a little outdated. But a handgun was confiscated from a Waukee student Tuesday afternoon. It doesn't say which I didn't do a deep dive, but it didn't say which high school. Interesting. And here is the big one that CBS Radio did. We are a CBS affiliate. I love the guys on CBS Radio. Right after my show, Zach Gelb, he is really good. I love listening to him. I really like Tiki and Tierney as well. Who has a better shot to beat Georgia? Is it Alabama or Ohio State? And I don't know. I think Alabama's defense is better than Ohio State's defense, but I think Ohio State's offense is a lot better than Alabama's offense. And I don't know if either one of them can score on Georgia. Now, we always think that, you know, that a good defense beats a good offense. This isn't the Chicago Bears here, folks, when they won the little Super Bowl shuffle. I don't necessarily know if that is the same. Just interesting stuff that's out there. If you follow any Iowa State social media, and you didn't happen to see during the game, Brock Purdy had to go. He finally, I don't know if he released it, somebody released that he had to go back into the locker room to go through concussion protocol. I don't understand, you know, once again, I'm gonna say this, that NCAA football is a multi-billion dollar conglomerate, and they can't have medical tents out on all these fields. They can't make sure that everybody that plays football can have a medical tent, that you can have a medical personnel go in and look at this. You got to walk all the way back. He was checked out, and he came back, and he saw Matt Campbell, and he sat down on the bench, and Matt Campbell and him sat down and had a conversation. You can't tell by any of the pictures how long of a conversation, but once again, this is my take, and I took it from a couple of Steph Copley and Alyssa Hu and Megatron and all those guys. You know what? I don't care if you like what he says. I don't care if you like him or don't like him, think he's a good coach, not a good coach. He's my coach for my team. And I thought it showed the side of Matt Campbell that is more than verbiage. You know, anybody can say that, you know, it's outcome based, or it's inside the locker room based, or doing all that, but you have to go out and you have to show it and you have to do it. And I think Matt Campbell does that. And when you see someone taking time talking to him, I think he was also talking to him, listening to him. He had 2.5 football games, because that was like in the second half. He has this weekend his home game, senior night, 3:30 in the afternoon. Bring your own concession food in clear plastic bags. We'll talk about that a little bit later too. But and I think Matt Campbell is just sitting there talking to him and saying, you know what, if you feel okay, you know, we kind of have a rule here. I didn't take you out of the game because you were playing bad. I took you out of the game because you got hurt. If you want to go back in, go back in. He went back in and was 3.5 inches away from throwing the ball a little too high to Chase Allen to tying the game up and making Oklahoma go win a game. And that's my guy. And I'm proud that he's my guy. So there we go. But I thought that was very, very interesting. I don't want to mispronounce, but I thought today when I heard it, it was Emin Supert. He was a Cleveland Cavalier basketball player. Now everybody in the world knows who he is because he won Dancing with the Stars last night. He did three dances last night. He's 6'7", has 14, size 14 shoes, and he won Dancing with the Stars. Never danced before. He went on that show. And their last dance was kind of a hip-hop dance. You have to go on social media, pull up Shumpert and Dancing with the Stars and watch this. It is amazing. I could not believe how good he was. Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau have a golf outing this weekend against each other. Everybody thought that maybe they made nice during the Ryder Cup. These two don't like each other. I love the fact that they don't like each other. I love the fact that they've got a bunch of buddies that hang with both of them, and they all don't know what to do with these two not liking each other. It is great for golf. Phil and Tiger were great for golf for a while. Phil didn't win enough, and then they became friends, and it wasn't the same. And now Tiger, not that he's friends with everybody, but these are all these guys that are doing so well, your Spieths, your Thomases, Morikawa, Rory McIlroy, all these guys that are unbelievably good golfers are golfers because of Tiger Woods. And so when Tiger's around them, it's not he's my friend, he's my buddy. It's reverence. I mean, this is Tiger Woods. Golf isn't where golf is without Tiger Woods. And I've said before, Jack Nicklaus, Arnold Palmer, and those before them, unbelievable for the game of golf to keep it going. Tiger Woods took it to a level that no one ever thought that a Saturday and Sunday of a golf tournament that he was in could take down NCAA basketball, NFL football, NBA championships, whatever. And they did. So very interesting that's going on this weekend. I'm going to talk a little bit. I'll do it when after I get done talking with Zach. Talk a little bit about the Iowa Hawkeye basketball team. It's fascinating how the intricacies of the starting lineup are being, and how they're bringing different people in at different times and all that. It's fascinating, and I think it needs to be talked about because they're playing really well. They haven't played anybody yet. Iowa State's the same. Iowa State gets Xavier this weekend. They're going to find out how good they are, and Iowa will get that chance as well. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. First hour down, second hour coming up. Zach Steenblok kicking it off. Be right back.
It's green, moron.
Come on.